The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday, January the 8th, 2016. Hello, my name is Dan Wimmish, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, and for the first time this year, I'd like to be joined by Charles Watts. Charles, hello, Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Happy New Year.
I can't believe I just before we started recording, I said the 8th of January already. Christmas seems like a distant memory.
Can't believe the fact you said 2016. Right. I don't know if that time gone. I remember when I used to play Championship Manager at about 98-99 season, and it gets sort of 2012 or 2010 or something like that, and you just stop because all the players are like 35 that you used to play with. 2016 just seems remarkable. I can't believe we're here.
Yeah, it is crazy. I can't believe it's been 10 years since the 106-point season as well. It's I know they're marking it in various ways for the club, but to think that was 10 years ago now is mind-boggling. But we have to deal with 2016. We are here. There's no DeLorean in sight, so we've got to deal with it. And Reading got 2016 off on a good foot, Charles. They beat Bristol City. It was a really important win, but they did leave it late.
They did leave it very late. It wasn't the prettiest of wins, but like you say, it was a very, very important one. And I think given what had happened in the games before, that certainly on Boxing Day at Wolves, and you know, to some extent against Brentford as well, and they played well in those two games and got absolutely nothing out of them, I think they deserved a little bit of luck, and they got that against City.
Yeah, Nick Blackman, the man, obviously scoring the winner. We'll touch on him a little bit more as we go through the podcast. I think it's impossible to avoid the man this week. But just any other general thoughts from the game? Obviously, the one big talking point was the change of goalkeeper. Any indication as to why that happened? Why did Ali Al-Habsi come back in for Jonathan Bond?
No, it's a surprise, really. I think Brian just wanted to go with a more experienced keeper. And you know, for me, it's just not a good situation, is it, throughout the season when you're chopping and changing, desperately trying to sort of find yourself a goalkeeper out of the two you've got. It sort of says a lot about the two goalkeepers if you can't decide who number one is. If two successive managers can't decide who the number one is, it doesn't say a lot for those goalkeepers. So it's not an ideal situation for me. But yeah, when Brian didn't really say too much about it, just that he wanted he just thought Ali deserved a shot going. And, you know, in fairness, kept a clean sheet, didn't really have much to do, did he? And they didn't pepper him with crosses into the box for him to drop. So
although I really do hope that he had seen that flag for the offside goal, because watching back his effort at saving it, we could easily have been talking about another Al-Habsi howler.
Yeah, like I said, it's not ideal. And if I was Brian McDermott now, and in January, the first thing I'd be doing was looking to get a goalkeeper in. I'd be getting on the phone to Bournemouth actually and finding out what certain Australia's doing sitting on the bench, and if he wanted to come back. But that's another thing.
Indeed. Well, the first bit of transfer business has been done. Well, there's been a couple, but the first major one has been done. And unfortunately, it's an out, as far as if you're a Reading fan, you wanted that big marquee signing early doors. Unfortunately, it's a big marquee sell. Nick Blackman, as we mentioned, has gone. He's signed for Derby County. There's been a few different fees flirted about, Charles. What do you understand? How much money do you think Reading got out of this?
Well, I think my understanding is that they got a guarantee they're going to get over £3 million when it's all done and dusted. Obviously, it's in instalments, sort of in thirds. Over certainly every 6 months they'll get another third, but they're guaranteed to get over £3 million. But it could eventually reach around £4 million on add-ons, which you've got to look at it and say is a very good deal considering there's only 6 months left on his contract. Whether in business way you look at it and say it's a very good deal, whether you think that in the footballing side of things is another issue. But business wise, I think Reading can sort of look at it and think we got the best we could for someone who is technically going to walk away in a few months' time.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's your understanding of the timeline of events? Was this a case of Derby coming out of the blue, making a bid? Was this Nick Blackman wanting to go, or was it Brian McDermott keen to free up some funds? How do you understand the move came about?
No, it's been in the offing for a few weeks now. I think it was people at Reading were well aware that he wasn't going to sign a new contract. That's clear. They've been trying for a few months. Obviously, given his form this year, they've been trying to get him to sign a new contract, and they were pretty clear that he wasn't going to do that. All efforts to get him to round the table weren't working, and he was going to be leaving at the end of the season. He's obviously got a decent agent, Nick Blackman, by all accounts, who's done well, and there's been an awful lot of interest, unsurprisingly, given his form this season, from various clubs. But Derby have been there for a good few weeks, been making their interest known, but it really accelerated on Tuesday, wasn't it, when Chef Wednesday also came into the running, and I think that was enough for Derby. Then they got it done fairly quickly, and he was up there by Tuesday afternoon having a medical and getting it done.
You spoke to Brian McDermott yesterday. What sort of vibe did you get from him about the sale? Obviously, no manager's going to be happy to lose his top goal scorer, but did you get any sort of vibe off him as to how he felt about it?
Well, I think, like I said, he was disappointed. No one, like you said, wants to lose their top goal scorer. But unfortunately, it was taken out of his hands, really. The owners made the call, he said, and you've got to live by that as a manager. And he could understand exactly why they did make that call, because of the money involved. And so, he wasn't crying over it by any means, but he was understandably disappointed to lose such a goal threat.
Yeah, and fan opinion is very much divided. There's obviously a large chunk of the fan base that think that he was a player that had one good run of form and he was going to walk away for free, and they didn't like his attitude and were happy to see him go. And another group that were saying, well, he's had one of our best chances of making a playoff run. So very much dividing the fan base. But I think the entire of the Reading fan base is now united in wanting to know, are they going to spend the money, Charles?
I don't want to say they definitely will spend the money, but they certainly want to spend the money. Can I just say that I'm firmly in the base of this is, for me, it's an absolute massive lack of ambition by the club selling him. I've said that already this season. This week, I think they should have kept him, let him go on a free in the summer if that was the count. Money doesn't win you promotion. It sits in the bank. We all see it get wasted. It disappears. But with Nick Blackman in this side, Reading had a chance of promotion this season. And for me, that chance is now gone. They're not going to get, I can't see them getting promoted without Nick Blackman in the team. Just got to look at what he's given, how many points he's won this year, and I just can't see, unless Vidra suddenly rediscovers his goal scoring touch and bangs in 20 between now and the end of the season, or they somehow pull out an amazing deal who hits the ground running when he comes in, I just can't see there's a chance of promotion. It was unlikely anyway with Blackman here, but there was a chance, and now I think Reading have effectively waved the white flag.
I was going to say, and I wrote a piece on the Tullison yesterday looking at the ambition of the club, and my sort of point was, you put that money away, and, you know, I take the optimistic view that hopefully it will be reinvested, if not January, then in the summer when there's better deals to be done. But if you look at the overall strength of the squad and the business sense behind it, I don't see it as a massive lack of ambition, especially when you know, the bookies are giving us 33-1 odds of getting promoted. And let's be honest, you sitting out there, are you going to stick a hard-earned tenner on that to happen? I don't think many people would. I can absolutely see why they've done it. I'd have loved to see him stay, score 25 goals by the end of the campaign and see us promoted at Wembley. But I wouldn't have bet on that to happen. So under the circumstances, I'm not too bummed out about it. But then my own personal feelings on Nick Blackman have been expressed through various podcasts that we've done over the season.
I know people look at Blackman's record, and I've said it, and you know, I completely understand your view on it and a lot of people's view on it. Everyone's got their opinion on it, but everyone keeps going back to what he did the first couple of seasons. We're not talking about the first couple of seasons of the year, we're talking about now, and he's come on massively. Since I've been here, all I've heard about is how good Blackman is on the training.
Even now, in the last 2 months though, Charles, he's got two
goals.
He's
still been Reading's biggest threat and has always gone close to, yes, he's got two goals, but he could have easily got a few more. He's hit the woodwork a lot of times, and he's had keepers make great saves for him. He could have got an awful lot more. He's always been Reading's best threat. I do not think he's been out of form in these past 2 months. It's just the goals have dried up a little bit, as they do for any striker. He's still always been the threat who Reading turned to, and I just think that he could have easily, in this run in the last couple of months, could be sitting here 7 or 8 goals, and it's just from a couple of inches of hitting posts or keepers making saves. But he's in the last 5 games, he scored a couple of goals. He was back in the goal touch. And I just think, yes, they're going to have about £3 million. What does £3 million buy you now? Even in the Championship, a proven Championship goal scorer now costs you £10 million, £9 million, Ross McCormack, Andre Gray. You know, they're going to end up splashing out a couple of million quid that they get from Blackman, possibly even split it over a couple of players. And I just think there was a chance this season of promotion. Yes, they got £3 million quid in the bank. What are they going to do with that? Does that win you a title? Does that win you a trophy? Does it win you a promotion? No, it don't. It sits in your bank balance and eventually gets spent elsewhere, and for me, they've just waved the white flag and given up on a chance. They could have got 100 million quid at the end of the season. Football is about risks sometimes for me. If Reading were in the situation they were a couple of years back after Anton, and they desperately needed the money like they did when they sold Alfie, I could completely understand it. From my understanding, that's not the case. You know, they don't desperately need this money. They don't need it to pay a tax bill. They don't need it to keep the club afloat in the next few months. They could sometimes take in a risk. Football and business at times is about taking a risk. And this was an opportunity to take a risk, in my opinion, and they've wasted it.
But there is an argument to say that Reading's shape and the whole makeup of the team wasn't ideal with Blackman in the side. And if you take him out, you go to a more traditional style with two wingers. Because I used to watch Nick Blackman play against Bristol City out on the right-hand side, and I thought being completely honest, I thought it was awful. He had no understanding with Chris Gunter, and it was only when he moved up front that he actually got into the game. Now, you take him out
don't
of the equation.
Don't play him out wide then.
Well, this is just it, though. He's now gone. You take him out of the equation. You've got two wingers. You say you play Quinn and McCleary. You've got Saar and Vidra up front, or another striker, whoever. Maybe there's some of the parts rallies around it. Maybe that's just an overly optimistic view, but I don't think
it's the word maybe or if in that for me. When
there's no guarantee.
There was goals in that side. Now suddenly you've got Orlando Saar, who scored in three games all season, and Vidra scored twice since he arrived. And I'm Vidra's biggest fan. I think he's fantastic. I think he's a better player than Nick Blackman, but he's not scoring any goals yet, and he looks absolutely short in confidence. And hopefully, Brian can come in, do what he does best, inspire Vidra, and get him back scoring. Because if he does, then Reading still have a chance. I admit that. And like I said, I think Vidra's a better goal scorer than Blackman, but a better player than Blackman. But I just don't. At the moment, you sort of look at where the goals are in his team and where the points are coming from, and it was all Nick Blackman. Well, not all, but the majority of it was Nick Blackman. Suddenly, he's out of the side now. So it's going to take an awful lot. A massive improvement, and suddenly everyone to click for Redden to now be a threat going forward. And I'm just not sure they're going to be.
Well, we'll both have to cross our fingers that they do manage to do that, because gone.
I desperately hope I'm wrong. Yeah. I desperately hope I'm wrong, and that I can eat my words in 4 months' time. And like I said, Vidra started scoring. The team suddenly started looking more of a threat. Like you said, they're playing out and out 4-4-2. We've got GMAC doing what he does best on the right wing. Orlando and Vidra, or if someone comes in, have formed a brilliant partnership. And everything's looking rosy again. I really hope that that is the case and that I eat my words on this one. But I can't, at the moment, the way I look at it, I can't see it.
Oh, yeah. I can absolutely see it going both ways. But I'm just going to put a rare optimistic hat on and hope that this all works out. But anyway, let's move on. Let's look at those. There have been a lot of transfer rumours since. Obviously, as soon as any club gets a bit of money, there's inevitably transfer rumours to follow of who's going to replace them and where that money's going to be spent. I've seen lots of names. I've not seen a lot of sources or reasons behind these links. I think there's a lot of transfer rumour gossip mongering sites out there that literally throw a name out. I know Danny Williams' name was thrown out there the other day and it sent Twitter into meltdown. The particular site that linked him was the same one that said Nicky Maynard was going to join Reading last January. So just a hint, folks, don't get overly panicked when you see a report. Obviously, if it comes from one of the big guns, like I include yourself in that, Charles, as a Sky Sports or a BBC, yeah, maybe take it in. But if it's coming from a random website that you've not really ever heard of, don't bite. That's my rant over, Charles. So with that,
I fully agree with you on that, on the Danny Williams one. I haven't touched that since it came out, and I've had so many questions about it, and it's just like, no, just look where it's come from. Honestly, it's not.
Me and you could sit here, and I could just suddenly say, so Charles, I've heard a rumour that Carl Hooper, the West Indian batsman is joining Reading next week, or just put any random rumor out there, and you can say, oh well, I've heard on the Tyler Sen podcast that X player is joining Reading. You know, you've got to look at the track record of these rumors, where they're coming from, and the rationale behind them. So, but anyway, as I said, with that all that said, there have been a few names mentioned. Except we mentioned Williams this morning was Connor Washington. I noticed Alex Iwobi. The Arsenal on loan, potential one. Bradley Dack of Gillingham as well. Have any rumours out there that have been in the public sphere? Any? Do you think they've got any legs?
I can't really comment on Connor Washington one, because that's fairly new. And I have to admit, when it came out, I'd never heard of it. You know, that was one that no name that had ever been mentioned.
Yeah,
to
the
me
Peterborough
before.
Striker.
Yeah, but it looks a fairly strong link. Judging by it, I see just before I came up here, the Peterborough chairman is going to be on Twitter at 11:30 to talk about what he says has been leaked sort of transfer news. Mm. So that'll be interesting. So it looks like he's going to, yeah, we know he's a very outspoken person anyway. And so it'll be interesting. It looks like he might well be explaining exactly what the situation is on that one. That's 11:30, he said. So that'll be interesting. I haven't had anything from Reading out of that. I've asked a few questions this morning and not had responses on it. So yeah, I can't really comment on that one. It looks a fairly strong link though. I know the reporter who wrote it for the Daily Mail, and he does have sort of links. He has had stories about Reading before. So it looks like there could well be something in it. Whether it's £3 million that is being suggested, I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, that would break Reading's transfer record.
And an unproven striker. A lot of people look at Nick Blackman and say, oh, this is the only season he's really started scoring in the Football League. And you sort of look at Washington's stats. He only got 14 last year in about 44 games. It's only this year that he started. It's averaging almost one in two, so it's the same situation. You're basically spending £3 million on a risk. Hopefully it's one that works out, and they've scouted him well if it does come off. But it is a risk, isn't it? And you'd be surprised if Reading splashed out all £3 million that they got pretty much get guaranteed for Blackman on a League One striker.
Absolutely. So no other names in
well,
the frame.
Dak, I understand Dak is someone who they are interested in and they have been looking at, but I also understand that something is unlikely to happen this transfer window if something was to happen with him. Whether that's because they're focusing their attentions on another forward player this month remains to be seen. But you have to think, given Dak's form, that there's a fair few suitors out there for him. So if Reading are to not make a move this window for him, they might end up missing out, because unless Gillingham play hardball and decide to keep him to the end of the season, because A, they've got a chance of promotion, so they might just reject all offers, and then Reading could look at it again in the summer.
Right, I'll throw these two names out there just to get the general overview of the loan situation. Alex Pearce and Alex Iwobi have both been linked with loan moves, one from Derby, one from Arsenal. Is Brian McDermott looking to do any loan deals this window?
No, he says no, and other people that I spoke to high up at the club have also said that loans are, if anything's going to happen this month, it's going to be permanent. Obviously, something could happen that someone could become available who you just simply can't say no to on loan, and they could make the move. But from what my understanding is, that it's very much anything that is to happen this month, they are looking at permanent deals and not any more loans. Brian's never been big in the loans. I spoke to him about it yesterday. He's never been a manager who dips into the loan market very much at all. In fact, I think he was saying that only, was it Andy Griffin or someone?
He signed a pair of them. He signed Griffin and, he signed Ledgerwood. He signed Andy Griffin and Zurab Kishnashvili in his first transfer window. I think he got Zurab back on loan the following season, but that was a season-long one. And yeah, Mikhail Ledgerwood, other than that, he did a couple of temporary ones in the run-in, but he's never been a massive loan guy.
Yeah, and he says that if he ever does do loans, he always wants them really to, only if they've got a sort of option to buy at the end of it, because he wants them to really feel like Reading players. I think this all goes back to the identity thing that he talks about with Reading. So he's not a massive fan of the loan system. So, yeah, I mean, Iwobi, I asked him about yesterday. He said there's been no talks, and obviously he's very close to Arsenal. And Alex Pearce, I didn't even ask him about. I just think that's a very easy link. I understand he is going somewhere this month, but it's not going to be Reading.
No. Any news on the current loanees at the club? Obviously, some people are saying, you know, send back this player, send back that player.
I don't think anyone's going back. Again, no. I spoke to someone this week about that, and he seemed to suggest that everyone's going to be staying until the end of the season. I think basically it costs the club money if they cut the loan short now. So I think they'll all be here until the end of the season.
Any chance of any of them turning permanent? I think the obvious one is Andrew Taylor. Any chance you can see that happening?
Not this month, no. I doubt it. It would be interesting. I haven't spoke to Taylor recently to get his views on it. I mean, whether he'd tell me anyway, I don't know, because he obviously wants to keep his options open. But I suppose it depends what Brian does with the left-back situation now, because he obviously knows Jordan Beater very well. Jordan's been injured since Brian's here. But would he look to bring Jordan back in? And if he does, would Taylor really want to join on a permanent basis? You know, I'm sure if he wants to go to a club on a permanent basis, he wants to be the first choice, undisputed first choice left back. And would he be that once Abita's back fit, given Brian's links and with Abita and Reading? I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, you can obviously stay tuned to getreading.co.uk and obviously follow Charles on Twitter at Charles_Watts for updates on those transfer rumours. And we'll obviously be keeping half an hour at 11:30, see what the Peterborough chairman's got to say. The podcast should be out just before then, I hope. But let's focus on the players we do have. They've got a very important game at the weekend. It's the FA Cup third round. And since the deja vu, Charles, as we travel to Huddersfield.
My favourite trip of the year. I cannot wait. I can't tell you how overjoyed I was when that draw was made. Yes, obviously, random. I don't even know what the odds could be to get Huddersfield away two years in a row in the third round. So typical Reading Cup draw, really, isn't it? Away from home against a Championship club. Not the most romantic of ones. Difficult game. Naki Wells is in great form. He always does Reading anyway. Every time
Indeed.
They play him. And he's already just one manager player in a month, I see, as well. So going to be tough for Reading, but I mean, it's certainly very winnable, isn't it? So it's not the worst draw in the world. And Brian yesterday said he's going to take it seriously. He loves the cup. He doesn't. He's not one to make wholesale changes. I'd like to see someone like Paolo Hurtado come in and get a run out.
Paolo, I mean, who?
Exactly. I just don't understand. The guy is a fully fledged Peru international. He's not, you know, he's not, there's no way he's a bad player. And I spoke at length to Brian about Paolo yesterday. I was going to put something up in the next few days about it. He was talking about the importance of, since he's arrived, he's tried to take Paolo to one side and speak to him. And he says it's so important he learns the language, because at the moment he doesn't speak a word of English or barely speaks a word of English. And so he doesn't want to talk in front of the group. He maybe feels a bit isolated around here. I mean, Orlando Sarr basically does all his translating for him. So that can't be good in terms of settling into a new club. If you don't speak the language, I think that's really important that he learns that. And I think Brian's really trying to get him to integrate more and start learning language. He thinks that he understands when he talks to him. So Brian's taking him away for sort of one-on-ones a couple of times. And he says he thinks he understands him, but he's just not keen to really talk in front of the group. I suppose it's like Pochettino, isn't it? When he went to Tottenham, he didn't want to do media interviews in case of getting things wrong and stuff like that. So I think with Paolo, he's struggling to adapt to England because there's no way he's a bad player. The reports from Portugal when he came over, you know, he was a very talented player. You just have to look on YouTube to see that. And he's a fully fledged international for a decent South American team. So I think I'd love to see him start getting a bit of a game, but whether he does, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, Brian was the man who got the best out of Jimmy Kebbe. So hopefully he can do the same and have that
he
same
was.
Impact.
He was also the man who didn't get the best out of Daniel Caruso.
Well, I think the physio didn't get the best out of Daniel Caruso, to be fair.
Maybe right.
Speaking of the Huddersfield game, then obviously a few injury worries. Paul McShane, one of the players who went off against Bristol City, a lot of defensive problems at the moment. We've already mentioned Jordan Obita. Who is likely to be fit and who's not going to be making the trip?
Paul McShane's not going to be making the trip. Jordan's not. Ola John's not. Someone else is not who I've forgotten now. I'm sure there was someone else who was definitely...
Tish Boller?
Yes, Tish is not. Tish is still out. Quinn's got a bit of a knock, but we'll be all right. Hector had a bit of a knock apparently this week, but we'll be okay.
If Stephen Quinn's got even the slightest knock, I do not want him playing.
I spoke to Stephen Quinn yesterday and had a great chat with him. He's such a nice bloke. He's certainly well up for Saturday. I don't think there's any hint of him.
Need to wrap him in cotton wool, though. He's so important.
So I said that to him as well. I was like, do you understand how valued you are by the fans? And he was like, well, I don't understand that because they've barely seen me because I've been injured. He said he feels like he owes the supporters because since he's come in, he's barely been on the pitch. But
good lad.
I did tell him exactly how popular he is and how basically everyone pins the downturn in form this season on the fact that Stephen Quinn got injured.
Excellent. Obviously, I mentioned on the main edition show this week, Huddersfield does not count in the Title Ten Prediction League, Charles. You'll be, as you well remember from your cup exploits last year, doesn't count. However, for those of you who did miss the main show this week, Charles, you're still at the top of the table.
Am I?
Yeah, you picked up enough points over the Christmas period. I think none of us had a great one. So you sit on top with 17 points, level with
I thought I was going to get Brentford right until that. Was it Canas that scored that?
You had a 1-1 for that game, and obviously Brentford won it. None of us got that right. But we all got picked up points against Bristol City. You're up to 17. You're level with me at the top, 17. That predicting a 1-0 win over Blackburn has seen me put a strong foot forward to defend my title. So we're at the top on 17. Johnny's on 14. Westie's move up to 11, and Handbags is on 8. So this doesn't count, but what's your prediction anyway? As a Brucey bonus.
What is my prediction? I think voice of doom that Reading are going to lose.
Yeah, and we all predicted defeats as well.
Yeah, I think after reaching the semi-final last year, I think we're going to come crashing back down to earth on a cold, wet Saturday afternoon at Huddersfield. I'm going to say 2-0 defeat. Yeah.
Well, you cannot blame the Tyler Sen podcast team if we lose this one because we've all predicted gloom. moving ahead then, we spoke of Nick Blackman moving to Derby. That is Reading's next league opponent. It's a very tough trip. I know it's cliche for the Championship because they're all tough. But heading to the iPro to a team in the top two who have just been on ever since I think they beat Reading, they've been on a really great run. What do you make of Reading's chances going up to that game?
Not great. Not great. I think we're all expecting Nick Blackman
goal. Don't sugarcoat it, Charles.
It's going to be his first league. It's going to be his first league game. But then I said that at the end of last season when we went up to the iPro when they needed to win to get in the playoffs and Reading hadn't won for 10 games. I think I predicted about a 4-0 defeat and said that Derby couldn't have wished for a better team to play and then Reading went and turned them over.
They've got a very good record in that stadium.
Yes. Indeed. I've seen Pog win games from there. That was a good day. I remember that was Pog after broke his duck for the season with 2 goals. Nick Blackman again scored.
No celebbing.
Stared at the Reading fans in only a way Nick Blackman can do. It's going to be a difficult game. I think Derby looking very strong, although they were humbled against a very impressive Middlesbrough fairly recently and well beaten. But I think Reading. I think it's. You asking me for a prediction now?
Well, it's up to you. I can get it from you after
I'll
the
hold out.
Hold out.
Ask me closer to the game. I'm actually not going to that game on Tuesday. I'm my wife's away, so I am on baby sitting duties.
Johnny
so,
deputising.
Johnny is heading up there, but yeah, I think it's gonna be a very difficult game, isn't it? I mean, if they get anything from that, it will, you sort of look at it as a bit of a bonus, really.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we'll talk about that game in depth on the main edition of the show, which should hopefully be Sunday or Monday. I've still got to rustle up a crew for that one. But Charles, in the meantime, thank you very much for joining me. Obviously, lots to look forward to on getrain.co.uk over the next week. Are you web chatting today?
I am web chatting. I was expecting a busy one as well. Plenty to talk to. Always busy during it when the transfer window's open.
Yeah, what time's that kicking off?
I'll say 1 p.m, but it might push back to 1:30 p.m. depending on what I have to do with that and the Peterborough Chairman's Q&A at 11:30 might bring me might mean that I need to do some stuff. So either 1 p.m. or 1:30.
Yeah, and I say we'll keep tuned to Charles's Twitter at Charles_Watts. Obviously, there's lots of good content up on the TylerSend.com at the moment. You can read my piece on Ambition. We've got lots of other bits and pieces, opinion on Nick Blackman. And we'll have some Huddersfield preview over the next few hours as well. Also, a big thank you to everyone who has helped donate to the cause and helped fund our new equipment. As I mentioned on the show last week, still flooding in. Literally, packages seem to be pitching up at my door every day. So fingers crossed the quality is going to get better as the weeks go on. But again, Charles, thank you very much for joining me. And I'll hopefully speak to you next week when we can talk about an amazing fourth round draw against Arsenal. And actually, no, not Arsenal, anyone but Arsenal. We never win. And and 3 points at Derby.
Yes, hopefully so. Enjoy the weekend, Dan.
Cheers on you, Charles. Take care. Bye-bye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.